It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, hello, everyone out there in radio land. I am George Williams, and this is the George Williams Show. Folks, we're so glad to be back behind the mic, and we're going to have a good show for you tonight. And we're going to have our guests who are running for Congressional District 1. Last week we had one individual, and tonight we have two who are running. So give them your thoughts and listen to what they have to say, folks. Our number here is 251-343-0106. And if you know anybody outside our listening area that want to listen to us over the internet, it's FM Talk, T-A-L-K, 1065.com. That's FM Talk, 1065.com. All right, folks, like I said, we're gonna have a good show tonight, and we want you to know who the candidates are in Congressional District 1, and we have one right now, Mr. Sidwell. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, George. How are you doing tonight?
Great, great, great. It's good to have you on the show. Tell us, our audience something about you.
Absolutely. Well, I was raised in Baldwin County. Spent 12 years flying helicopters in the United States Air Force. Flying combat search and rescue, and then as an instructor in the UH-1 up at Fort Rucker up in Enterprise. Moved back here to run my family security company. Along the way, I got an MBA, and I just graduated from Jones School of Law up at Faulkner University in Montgomery. And really, I'm just running to really get back to the Constitution and get back to a representative government that's represented by one of the people, you know, someone that's going to work for them and not work for the lobbying interests up in D.C.
Okay. And what made you want to run for Congressional District 1?
Well, first and foremost, as a Christian, you know, I think this is where God wants me to be. You know, I never claim that he wants me to win, but I know that I'm walking in what he wants me to be by stepping up and attempting to run for this seat. The second is my kids.
Okay.
I've got three kids, a 15-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And, you know, I look at the direction of this country and the spending, and further we get from the Constitution, we have no guarantees that the America that I grew up in, that you grew up in, is going to be there for our kids and grandkids. And that's what I want to try and salvage.
Okay. What are some of your concerns with what's happening now in Washington?
Well, one of the biggest things is a lack of accountability with our tax dollars that's being spent. You know, we're $40 trillion in debt with even more on the books and obligated out, and the spending doesn't cease. And I want to get back to conservative principles that shrinks the federal government,
mm-hmm.
that gets back to, you know, a federalist type of government that's based on the Constitution, where the government, the federal government, stays within its lane. You know, it's not about spending on pet projects. We've seen how much the welfare system has grown. Right now, a report just came out a few weeks ago that Social Security is going to be insolvent in its largest fund in the next 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we fundamentally have to look at where we're getting our tax dollars and where we're getting our funding for these programs, and we got to stop printing money.
Mm-hmm. All right. I understand that. What are some of the, things that you will do in Washington to help the citizens of your district and the state of Alabama?
Well, you know, I'm going to stand up for, you know, the conservative principles that make South Alabama great, right? Like, we believe in, you know, faith and family, and we believe in patriotism, and that's what I'm going to stand on. We look at our district specifically, and we've got a large number of veterans in our district. And as a veteran myself, like, I'm going to stand on trying to get the VA to do its job. Right now, we have over 1 million homeless veterans in America. Like, why are we doing that? We're forgetting about the people that served and fought for this country, and I want to go up there and fight for them. And I've been to the VA system. Mm-hmm. I'm a disabled veteran, and, you know, that perspective is important when you're advocating for those values. Right now, when you get out of the military, you have to go fight and state your claim, and it's a process that's put on the veteran to get the compensation that they deserve. Mm-hmm. Why is that not automatically done when you're active duty, in the reserve, when you're in the military? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you signed up for that program going forward?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they bank on the fact that, you know, a lot of people aren't going to sign up for that, and the system doesn't work for the veteran. It forces the veteran to go out and work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of the many things that I think that I can bring to this district, kind of a different perspective. I'm 36 years old. I've never been in politics before. And I think we need some outside perspective and some new, fresh ideas to go up there in D.C. and advocate for us.
Right. What are some of the bills that they have up there now that's going through the congressional, the House, that you think shouldn't be there? Or what bills do you think that should be there?
Well, right now we've got the SAVE Act that the president is big on trying to get passed.
Mm-hmm.
We need to secure our elections because that's our fundamental right, right? Like, if we don't have secure elections, then we can't pick who represents us. So I'm all with the president on getting that passed. I want to see it passed without the stupid additions to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a single-issue bill guy. I think that Congress can do the work to put smaller bills across the table that are more narrowed and focused on specific issues that we need to get done. Another one, I'd like to see our congressmen and women to stop trading on stocks and insider information. There's a stock trade ban bill that died in committee because no one up there, no one a part of the establishment is going to advocate for that because they're profiteering off of us.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some of the ones that we've seen this past year. And I just want Congress to step up and do its job. Stop delegating power to the administrative state and step in and take back the power of oversight in the budget.
Right, right. I tell you, it's some job when you get up there due to the fact that you're fighting the Democrats, and the Democrats are not that easy to persuade now. They kind of stick together.
They do, and we don't. You know, Republicans don't have as good of a track record sticking together because we value new ideas. We value getting up there and hearing people's different stances. But, you know, I truly think that conservative values win. I truly think that free market principles win. I truly believe that the Constitution is the best political document ever created. And I think if we stick to our guns on those principles, then we win on the issues. Right? We don't have to win on big talking points. We can win on fundamental issues, but we need our representatives to stand the line and stand the ground on those issues.
Right. And also, when you talk about helping the voters in your area and helping the state of Alabama, there are a lot of funds that can come down to help, especially right now with the Mobile Bay and the new bridge going across there. Now they're talking about tows. What is your thought on, you know, I don't want to, you know, pay a tow just to come to Mobile. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think they pulled the wool over our eyes on that one, right? Like, we're going to spend $3.2 billion on a bridge that doesn't fix the bayway. That's not coming till later and more money. And we have to pay a toll on top of it. So we're talking about federal income tax that's going to go into it. We're talking about state income tax that's going to go into it. Oh, and by the way, it's going to cost the average family $60 a month to go back and forth to get to their job, whether it's in Mobile County or Baldwin County. It's right. Ridiculous.
Right, right. When we get back, we'll talk to you more after this break, because you look at northern Alabama, especially going from Birmingham to Memphis, they have that big highway there and expressway. No tolls. No tolls there, but they're talking about tolls in the South. And in the South, we provide more money for the state, Mobile and Baldwin County, than any other counties put together. It's not fair.
It's not fair. You're absolutely right. And you know, it's far too long that South Alabama doesn't get the representation that fights for that. And that's one of the things I'm here. I'm here to fight for that. I'm here to not give ground. And when we say we're not going to do tolls over a 10-year period, I'm not going to give ground and just satisfy, you know, the whatever parties and say, oh, you know, we got the bridge, but we're just going to tag a toll onto it. I don't believe in that. We've got to stand our ground.
All right. Mr. Sidwell, we, a congressional candidate in Congressional District 1, will continue after these messages, okay?
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everyone. And we are on a mission, folks. We are on a mission. Right now, we have a primary election coming up next month, and we want everybody to participate. And folks, that's been a problem over the last couple of years. We haven't had that many folks participating in our primaries and our general election. I remember when we had 86-87% of the state population voting. So let's get out for this primary and the general election in November. All right, our guest is Austin Sidwell, and he is a candidate for Congressional District 1. Welcome to the show.
Yep, thanks for having me back here, George. And I just want to pick up where we left off. We were talking about some of the, you know, where the money goes, some of the toll bridge and stuff like that. And I just want to point out, one of the ways in which we loosen up the federal dollars to help us down here is we go after the fraud. Right, you see Secretary Bessent a few months ago talk about expectation that over $2 trillion of fraud is being committed across the country.
Yeah.
Where is that money? Right, we're never going to get it back, but we got to stop it going forward. And that's one of Congress's major jobs that they're not doing. I think the expansion of the federal government has led to getting to a point where we don't even understand where all of this money is going to. So we need some accountability as to and some transparency as to where our tax dollars are going. And once we do that, once we go out and find the trillions of dollars in fraud, which Vice President Vance is doing a really good job at this point, leading it up through the Trump administration, leading that effort. Mm-hmm. But that's where we loosen up some of the federal dollars without breaking the bank and printing more money just to fund the project.
Right. And I was looking at the news today and I was reading some of the newspapers regarding all these foreigners that are collecting millions and millions of dollars. How the hell are they doing it?
Well, they're doing it because the system's too big to keep track of all the money that's flowing out of it. I mean, they're doing it under Democrats. You know, they open up the borders. They give money to anybody. But we've allowed those systems to continue to pour out money. You see the Social Security fraud, you see the Medicare fraud, you see the fraud that's rampant in just about every single government program. Well, if we can't find where the money's leaking out of, then shut down the program.
Well, that's true.
I mean, why don't we just cut off the water and then we can find where the leaks are and then we can slowly trickle it back in and figure out the right places to put the money.
Yeah, I agree. What kind of committees would you like to be on?
I would really like to be on DOGE talking about fraud, right? I want oversight. That's a subcommittee there.
Okay.
Would love to be on that because I think that's the first step in you know, making a way forward and getting back to a balanced budget and back to fiscal responsibility. Mm-hmm. The next is natural resources, right? Mm. Like, I think that's a big deal down here in South Alabama. You know, we've got the bay, we've got the port. We've got all of the wonderful natural resources that we have down here on the Gulf Coast, and that's an important committee for us to be on in order to advocate for, you know, future generations and maintaining what we have here.
Mm, that's true. That's true.
And the other one would be the Armed Forces Committee.
Okay.
I think we need veterans that are, like, veterans that have been there, that have been in these forever wars, that have been in the modern era of fighting these wars, to get in there and figure out a way forward, right? Like, I think that there's a lot of money that gets spent on military defense, and I'm all for money going to the right places, but I don't know if it helps our troops in the right areas. I don't know if we have the right voices advocating for veterans. Mm-hmm. So I'd like the opportunity to be on that committee as well.
Right. One of my concerns with veterans is, you know, we almost have a food shortage in America with the farmers, et cetera, because of all of the industrial buildings and all that. And there are no programs set up to help veteran farmers. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll give a shout out to one right now, and that's Vets the Cowboys. It's a local one here in in Mobile County.
Right.
It's in Grand Bay. It's run by one of my buddies, and one of his goals is, you know, we're not getting enough farmers from the next generation of farming families.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, good, bad, they go and do other things. That's fine. We got to look to other avenues to start creating the next generation of food producers here in America. And Jeremy over there at Vets the Cowboys is doing just that. His goal is to go and get vets and teach them how to farm, teach them how to work cattle, and teach them, you know, those new skills when they get out of the military. Because one thing you and I both know as veterans, like, you know, you take a guy out of the military and you know he's willing to work. You know he's willing to bust his butt, learn new things, and put everything he's got into it. But farming's a difficult thing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's where it's going to take guys that are in the industry going out and finding those guys that need a job, that need a career, that need, you know, something new to do. Why don't we put them in farming? Why don't we show them a way to help us produce?
Right. One thing I've noticed, and I've talked to veterans, and they tried to get into the farming, and there are no kind of programs to help them financially get into that. You know, you have some of these big farmers and you have the Department of Agriculture, they give them grants and all that, but they have no grants set aside for veterans. And I think that's terrible.
Oh, it is terrible. Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of talk about helping veterans, and we don't actually see a lot of action getting done. Because it's difficult to identify what each veteran's going to need, but what you need is the experience and someone that's been through that to be there to show them, hey, you know, this is where the grants are, this is how you do it, and you need someone that's identifying, hey, we've got a whole generation of people that are getting out of the military that could benefit us, not just in farming, but in other industries. Teach them welding. Teach them, go out and use federal money to help educate. You know, one of the things I actually used a lot was educational benefits through the GI Bill and stuff like that, tuition assistance while I was in. We should open that up for a broad range of anything. I mean, you be able to use that money. If you go out and serve this country and put your life on the line for this country, you shouldn't be restricted to using that money for specific programs or specific colleges or education specifically as it is. Open that money up for them to use it in anything. Use it to start a business. Use it to get into farming. Use it to buy land to start farming. I mean, I know that's one of the big barriers that Jeremy and I have talked about with farming and, you know, our age group kind of getting into it is this, the cost of land.
Right.
So how about we give some really, really good loan rates to veterans that are getting out trying to get into that field?
Right. Because, you know, I've checked and with the Department of Agriculture, and there are no grants set aside for veterans to help with farming. I mean, I think that's terrible. So, you know, would you make a commitment to sponsor a bill to you know, help vets get grants for to continue, you know, that's 100%. Important to me.
Absolutely, yeah. You can mark it, record it, absolutely. And I even work with Jeremy, who's already in the field, and mm-hmm. I'll bring him up there, and we'll craft a bill that will help get grants specifically for veterans to get into farming.
Yeah, I think that's important because the food, if they have a couple of cows or have some sheep or goats, that food is very expensive. And then to put the fencing up, okay, around there to keep the animals safe. But there's nothing set aside for veterans. And I've checked, okay, I've tried to help some veterans who own some land and wanted to start a farm, and there's no grants.
Yep. Yeah, and we can go further and get rid of some of the regulations that prevent some of that stuff from making it harder to get into. I know they talk about, you know, when you get into slaughtering cows and cattle and stuff like that, there's a lot of regulation around that. Let's decrease that regulation, open up the free market. Mm-hmm. Open it up to our veterans, who are hard workers, and go in there and promote and really do a great job of building that industry.
Right. What are some of the other concerns that you have? We've got a few more minutes.
Generally speaking, I'll just make this kind of, this whole last part, like my reason for getting someone to vote. You know, right now I don't have the big money spent by the establishment candidate, and I don't have, you know, a lot of the endorsements and backing because I haven't had time to yet build those relationships in mm-hmm. DC's, which come when you get up there, right? Like, you build that over time, and that's fine. But what have we gotten from putting the same type of people in there?
Okay.
That's my question to the people of Alabama.
All right.
What have we gotten, and what does it cost us to put someone new in there with a background as a military officer, with a background graduate from law school, with a business background? I've run a small business for the last 3 years. Give me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a chance to get in there and advocate for conservative Christian values and constitutional principles, because that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to make sure that I work my butt off for the people of Alabama.
All right, folks. Austin Sidwell, how can the voters get in touch with you?
Absolutely. You can go to my website at sidwellforcongress.com. You can go to my Facebook under the same name. You can go to Instagram, Twitter, J.A. Sidwell, X, I guess now, my bad. But Sidwell for Congress. And like I said, we run this on small dollar donations. We're not backed by the big PACs, the big super PACs, the big corporations that are buying your election. So anything you can give, $5, $10, $15, goes a long way of giving me gas money to get out in front of people.
All right, folks. Austin Sidwell. Well, we wish you luck.
George.
And the election.
Yeah, absolutely.
Election is what day in August?
August 11th.
11th.
Everyone get out and vote.
All right. We appreciate you coming on and letting the people
George.
Know, you know, Austin Sidwell and what his platform is and what he plan on doing for the citizens of District 1 and Alabama. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, George. You have a good night.
All right. You too. All right, folks. That's one of the candidates, and he will be on the ballot for the 13th of August in District Congressional District 1. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And we are on a mission. You hear me keep saying that, folks. I'm saying that for a reason. We are. In order for us to fight the Democrats and keep them out of office, because they are dangerous. They are very dangerous to America. And to Alabama, and you look at Samari Figures, who is in District 2 now, and he spoke yesterday. I was looking at a video of him on Facebook speaking, and when he spoke, it was like almost an all-black crowd, okay? And Samari was talking about the redistricting, talking bad about the Supreme Court, and then talking about how bad it was for black folks in Alabama because of this racist state, you know. And I'm listening to this idiot, and then he talked about his father, you know, Michael Figures, and his mother, Senator Vivian Figures, okay? To me, she's done nothing to help the constituents in her area, okay? To me, Michael Figures have not done anything since he's been a congressman. And he made a point about talking about the monies that he's bringing to his communities. And I'm saying, what money? What money is he bringing to his community? Most of the time, when money's coming to the community from the federal government, it's the delegation get together, and they talk to the feds and say, we need money for A, B, C, D, E. Okay? Now, were they participating with the delegation? I don't think so. You know, they participate with the Democratic Party, and they vote the way the Democratic Party want them to vote. When I say they, Michael Figgis and Congresswoman Sewell, okay? They vote the way the Democratic Party want them to vote. They voted against men and boys and women and girls' sports. Can you understand that? Why would two Congress folks vote against that, making that a law to keep boys and men's out of women's sports and girls' sports? Why would they vote? Why would any Democrat vote for those two idiots who vote to keep boys and men in women's sports and girls' sports? To me, they lost the vote right there. And so I figure Samari Figgis will not be our congressman after the November election. Matter of fact, I'm willing to bet on that. Okay? He doesn't deserve to be a congressman in Alabama. He does not. And we're also working to get Congresswoman Sewell out of office. Now, we have a very good person running against, right now, this person is running against another Republican in the primary on the 13th. Okay? And after that, he will be running against Congresswoman Sewell. That is a very important race, folks, because she's got a lot of money in her coffin. And she's in that district that's been set aside for a black person. Okay? You know, not a Democrat. Not a Republican, but a black person. Now, we know that it was set aside for a black Democrat, which she is. She is. Okay? Now, what about black Republicans? Do they get the votes in that district? And this is what gets me about the Democratic Party. They want set asides for blacks, but black Democrats, folks. That's what they want set asides for, black Democrats. And my question to them, what about black Republicans? You know, it's such a shame. We only have one black Republican in the state house, okay? We have no black Republican senators in the Senate in Alabama. We have a lot of Democrats, black Democrats. Okay? And then you look at your local elections, your commissioners and your state representatives. So to me, blacks have done very well in Alabama, black Democrats, not Republicans. Black Democrats have done very well. So when you see or hear these black Democrats officials talk about how it's Jim Crow against them, folks, don't believe them. Don't believe them. And what do they do for their community, their constituents? Zero. Zero, zero, zero. And that is why I am a Republican. That is why I'm a Republican. And I'm out here every day. Every day. Talking on behalf of the Republican Party and to try and get the Republican Party to realize that we are all one, the black Republicans and the white Republicans and the Hispanic Republican, the Indian Republican. We are all one, and we gotta stick together. We've got to stick together, because the Democrats, to me, are very, very, very dangerous. Now, another question. Senator Tuberville, you know, there have been 3 complaints against Senator Tuberville. One was from the individual, Mr. McPhee, who ran against him. Okay? And that was taken care of. That was tossed out by the party. By the party. The Republican Party. Then they filed a court challenge. Mr. McPhee. And that was tossed. Because it was a circuit judge in Montgomery that tossed that out. Now, so after that, then you had an individual from Mobile, Brooks somebody, I don't know who that, and from Montgomery, to go to court. That was tossed. Now you got the lawyer who didn't like what the lawyer in Montgomery did. Now he has taken it to the Alabama Supreme Court. My question to you folks is, do you think the Democrats are behind this? You know, after all of the clearance for Senator Tuberville, and now they've taken it up to this Alabama Supreme Court, which I think it'll be tossed, okay? But why? Now, someone is telling me that the Democrats have something to do with this, and I believe that. I saw a video where Doug Jones were talking about Tuberville. And you can look at Doug Jones's face. Now, Doug Jones is a candidate, Democrat candidate for governor. As you know, he was a senator for a couple of years, okay, when he ran against Judge, our great judge. And he beat him, Roy Moore. He beat Roy Moore. And so now he is a candidate for governor, and he's going to get wiped, okay? There's no way Doug Jones is going to be the governor of Alabama. That's my opinion. My opinion. There's no way. And so I think he and the Democrats are doing everything that they can to keep Senator Coach Tuberville out of the elections in November. But it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It is definitely not going to work. And that's where we are, folks, with this. And we've got a real good slate of Republicans running. So after this election on the 13th of next month, you can, when we run in November, all you have to do is hit one box. One box. And that's all you need to do. Republican box. And that covers every Republican. Every Republican. Okay? Now, another thing is the vice chairman of the Democratic Party, and I forgot her name. I saw it here. And she advised the Democrats to vote in the primary in August. They want to have an influence. And what I think they want to do is to get the Democrats to vote for the weakest candidate in District 7. Okay? And the strongest candidate, they're going to vote against him. And so that the weakest candidate can be in the election in November and get beat by Sewell. Because I don't think there's no way in the world based on her dismal record that she can win in the election against our candidate, Reverend Perry, David Perry. I don't think so. I really don't think so. And I think that what we need to do is to make sure that our Republicans get out there and vote. And you Democrats, if you want to vote Republicans, that's no problem. But vote for the candidate that you think would win the election in November. That's what it's all about. It's all about November, folks. November. We already have a problem with the local races. Like in Mobile, I think you have one senator and two or three state assembly folks, blacks, in Mobile. Okay? And I asked some people in those districts, what do they do for the community? They do nothing. They come back every 4 years to be reelected. They bring no kind of program. They are defund the police. Okay? Defund ICE. Cut back on police recruitment of police officers. Come on, folks. You going to vote for those people? Look at Montgomery. Montgomery is in the capital of Alabama, the capital. And since the Democrats took over, that is Mayor Joe Reeves, Mayor Reeves, okay, crime has risen almost double fold in Montgomery. And that's a showcase for Alabama. That's under the Democratic administration. Look at Birmingham. Look at Birmingham. Crime is horrible. Bessemer, right next to Birmingham. Crime is horrible. Why is it when Democrats take over, crime goes up? That's a good question. You Democrats out there, I know you're listening. Tell me, why is it when you take over a city or a state, crime goes up? Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. I'm waiting for the Democrats to think about that so they can give me an answer. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And we are still on that mission. We are on that mission. And we've got a lot to do, folks, between now and 13th of August to get the primary taken care of. Then in November, we've got to get our Republican slate, okay, elected for the betterment of Alabama. Our number here is 251-343-0106, folks. What else have been happening? Well, President Trump has called for a mini convention. A midterm convention, and I've been here 20 years, and I've never heard of that, but I've attended four conventions already, okay? Four. And this will be my fifth, and it's going to be in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be, I think, from the 8th to the 11th of September. And I will be attending that as part of the Alabama delegation. Now, someone asked me, why is this convention? Normally, our conventions are every 4 years, okay? Every 4 years. But this is a two-year convention, and I think I know the reason why the president is calling for the convention, and I think it's a great, fantastic idea, folks. I think it's a fantastic idea. And I'm going to be really glad to participate in that convention, because we need to know who is running in 2028, and I think the purpose of it is to get us ready for 2028. And I know the you know, there are a couple of people who I will like to see become a candidate for president. Okay, and that is Rubio. I think he'll be a good president for 2028. Ted Cruz, I think he'll be another person. Marco Rubio, and our vice president, Vance. So any of those individuals, I think, would be really good to replace President Trump. I really believe that. And it's going to be very interesting when we're in Dallas. It's going to be very important that we have a front runner for the election in 2028, because we don't want a Democrat to get in, folks. We need someone in that will continue the program that President Trump is initiating in America right now. We need that. We need a good Republican with guts in the White House after President Trump. So any one of those four individuals will be elected, I think that would be good. Any of them, Rubio, Vance. Wait, there's one other, and I forgot. That is DeSantis, okay? Governor DeSantis. So there are four individuals that I would like to see any one of them become president, and the other one would be the vice president, okay? Any one of them can do the job, and that's the way I feel. So I think they will all be in Dallas for the convention, and let me tell you, it's gonna be interesting. And I really like what the president that he called this convention. I really like that. So, folks, we 2028 will be here before you know it. Okay, it'll be here before you know it, and we're gonna need someone on the Republican side to be our president following the term limit for President Trump. I'm telling you. So we will give you all the information before we go, and then when we come back, the results, it'll be all over the news for that. All right, I think we have our other guest here, and let's see who it is. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Brother George. How you doing?
Ah, here he is, folks. Reverend David Perry, who is a candidate for District 7, Congressional District 7 race. How you doing there?
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Glad to have you back on.
Well, it's good to be back on with you.
This race is very important. And you're all over District 7.
Trying to be. Trying to get the message out, and need to do a little bit more. I'm going to start doing a little bit more here in the next few days.
All right. What more do you need to do?
Just being a little more vocal on social media and in the media.
Okay. Okay.
You got to get your voice out, and I'm just trying to get the message out.
Right. And how are your finances?
They can be improved. You know, this is, you know, politics. You got to have some money to raise.
Yeah, it's true.
You got to have some backers if you're going to win.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
What are your main concern about District 7, Congressional District 7, with your congresswoman who's there now?
Pretty much, if we don't consolidate and really get the message out that it's time for change, then she'll go back in.
Okay.
And right now, the GOP can't afford to be split. And really, the message needs to be toward everybody, every voter in the district.
Right.
You know, it has to be tailored to where everybody see it, you know, but you need to give an alternative to the people.
Right. What is she doing that or not doing to the folks of that region, that district?
She's more... And this is the sentiment throughout the region, and I've been to just about every county in District 7.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't care, and she doesn't hear the people. She doesn't hear the concerns, and they go undressed. And the only time that you see any movement is when those grants come in right around election time, you know, because House of Representatives every 2 years. So
right.
You know, so the grant cycle just rolls, and the problems get unfixed, and the money disappears.
Right, right.
And the problems just keep on rolling.
Right.
But the people are tired.
Right, right. What is she not doing to help the voters in that district?
Well, she's not pushing, for one thing, she's not pushing the policies that can bring economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
This District 7 is last in economic growth in the state. I mean, but we're number one in poverty, number one in crime.
Right.
And then you get last, and I got trying to get an update on the report card they just came out with the school system.
Okay.
Today. So trying to get a grade on where we at with that. I know we was failing on the last one.
Okay.
But it's just not being concerned enough to really bring the district up to
right.
where it needs to be.
Right. You were supposed to come on early, and now we only have less than a minute to go. How can folks get in contact with you or assist you?
Go to davidperryforcongress.com, and you can go on that website, and you can hit the donate button. And please contribute. You can also find a link on the Facebook page. You can just mail it in to 1201 Grandview Boulevard, 2521 Huntsville, Alabama, 35824. And I'm sorry I was late coming on, but I was trying to hit this campaign real hard, and I had lost track of time. But, Jordan, I apologize for that.
Okay. All right. All right.
Thank you so much.
We'll put you back on next week, okay? Because the people, this is an important election. The people got to know David Perry. All right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And I'll be in Marion, Alabama, Thursday.
Okay. All right, folks. That's it. Until next week, we'll be back. Until then, Vicon Dales, everyone.